Now, what's this? What is this? We're going to find out our personality traits based on our shower habits today, are we?
Oh, the internet.
Another ridiculous article I saw and I thought, why not? Yeah, they reckon that whichever body part you wash first in the shower says a lot about your personality.
Okay.
I had to kind of act it out a bit to have a think about what I do. Because there is a routine. You don't realise you've got a routine. Same with the way you dry yourself. You seem to do it the same way every time.
Yes.
I had to think it through. But we thought I'd just talk to you guys about what body part you wash first and see if this analyses you correctly.
Okay.
So, I mean, look, you can jump right in. I mean, we've got Paul from Innaloo
has called in. He's called in. Hi, Paul.
Hello.
Hi, Paul. What body part do you wash first in the shower?
Well, I usually start with the soap in my hands, but then I scrub the old chest, give the man rug or use the suds and wash the rest of my body.
All right, Paul, we'll try this out on you. If you wash your chest first, you're a practical person. Straightforward, don't beat around the bush. To you, convenience is of paramount importance. You hate to be distracted when concentrating, and you're a good, intimate partner, and you're willing to try new things.
Wow.
You good in bed, Paul? I don't know whether that's a yes or no.
That sounded like your mate laughing at you. was it close to you at all, Paul?
Yeah, I like to be practical. Yeah, when I'm concentrating on something, I don't like to get disturbed. So it's,
All right, not too bad. Well, look, I mean, if nothing else, you're in the draw for free fuel frenzy. Now, I looked up myself first because I wanted to see how accurate this thing was. I do my armpits first.
Do you?
I do. It says I'm a dependable and hardworking person, generally very popular because I'm down to earth and willing to help others. I tend to get myself into trouble. And my best partner in life is those who chose shoulders, apparently.
Oh, they even match you up with how other people wash.
What are you, Pete? What do you wash first?
I'm actually shoulders.
Oh.
Funnily enough. I have a rhythm. I get the bottle and spritz a little downstairs and then across the shoulders, like from left to right.
Okay.
And then the hand comes up to the left-hand shoulder and I get up there first and then come under the armpit, across the chest, under the other one, and then work my way down.
There's some surface area there.
Yeah.
What does that say?
Well, we're going to come back to Pete because Pete's my perfect match, obviously. What's yours, Maddie? What are you washing first?
Well, I don't want to, you know, bring down the tone, but I did act it out. And if I'm honest, much like the sort of old Bass statement, I only shower once a quarter. Mm-hmm. And so I immediately go for the tackle.
Yeah. The first chance to touch yourself, you jump at it. Okay. Well, this is you. If you go for the downstairs area first when you jump in the shower, you're the shy type. You lack self-confidence and you tend to be bullied by others. You don't have a lot of friends because people find you boring and unattractive.
That is spot on.
Things are lifting for you though, Maddie.
Jesus.
You make an above average intimate partner.
Well, that's true.
You show your true emotions to very few people, but in the bedroom you find your inner strength.
I'll see you guys later.
I don't know if I want to tell Pete what he is. They're really harsh.
Are they?
They're really harsh.
Are they really?
It's the harshest personality trait. If you start with the shoulders, it's the worst one I've seen. A born loser. You fail in everything that you do. People dislike you and you tend to spend your time alone. Your type have been known to be heavy gamblers and drinkers. You see the world as a living hell. Money and power is important, but your luck will always fail you and you make a lousy bedroom partner. Those who choose armpits are your only chance.
Well, it's nice to know you got someone, but that's not true, Pete. They're two for three. None of that's true about you.
No. There's one significant truth in
there. Is there?
Okay. Yeah. But
we get to decide which one that is.
I'll leave it to you.
And of course, this week we had a little fun around the opening of Top Gun Maverick, Top Gun 2. We did some really cool stuff and we all laughed heartily when Kimber told us that she'd never seen the original Top Gun, the OG.
Yep.
And we got you to view it. And I guess it's fair to say that you found it a bit meh.
It was all right.
It was all right.
I believe my review said it was all right.
It was all right. 2.5, 3 stars.
Sure.
Yeah. Now, of course, people found that a little bit hard to swallow. And indeed, Chris couldn't believe that the emotional roller coaster that was Goose losing his life didn't affect you.
When Goose died, did you cry?
I did not cry.
And he was just, he couldn't believe it.
He was beside himself.
He thought you were quite
he?
Heartless.
He was very angry about it, yeah.
And of course, you know, we all get it. I think where Chris is coming from is the same place that I'm coming from, is that whilst we recognise there were flaws in that film, and indeed a lot of the films, and indeed music and fashion that came out of the 80s, it's us. It speaks to us and who we are and who we've become, and that's where the pain came from.
She'd never seen Top Gun, so we asked Kimber to review.
Kimber, Top Gun, what you hadn't seen yet?
This cultural icon that made a big star of Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise looks like a bad kisser.
You tried so hard not to watch it, but Kimber, Pete and I know it, you're not that into Top Gun.
It's all right.
Don't find the flight scenes much fun.
It just wasn't for me.
Didn't cry when Goose was hit in the knob.
Okay, so I have a question. When Goose died, did you cry?
I did not cry.
I bet you hated fame. Bet you scoffed at the Breakfast Club.
You hated it.
I hated it.
Should know this ain't no game. These 80s films are who we are. Sure, they all now look quite dated, but Kimber, be kind when you rate it. You're not that into Top Gun. Found the film a little bit ho-hum. Didn't get into the danger zone.
Was a shock. What? Didn't see this coming. Three times danger zone.
Well, Kimber, Kimber, the 80s might not mean much to you.
Sometimes it's just one of those things where you love a movie and other people don't like it.
If you were my age, you'd celebrate big shoulder pads too. But Kimber,
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 much fun. Didn't cry when Goose was hit in the knob.
When Goose died, did you cry?
I did not cry.
You must be a real hard girl.
And thank you to my wonderful backing vocalist, Pete Corelli.
Oh my God, that was hilarious.
Just doing what I asked.
Loved it.
I'm your wingman.
You are.
I'm your wingman.
I'm having major time management issues.
Are you?
I don't know what's going on. The last, I would say, probably 3 or 4 weeks, probably since the sort of weather shift, maybe.
Okay.
Like, you know, since it's kind of gotten a little bit colder and we're sort of getting into that zone, my days are too short. Like, I don't really know what's happening, but I'm finding at the end of the day I'm running out of time and I'm going to bed too late. And I'm not a business person. I'm not out running.
Definitely. No, don't worry. No one ever made that mistake, Kimber. We never thought you were a high-powered business person.
I'm not doing just anything. To be clear. Like, why am I running out of time? Like, I went to the park last night. I was walking McGruff, and I was walking him too late. Like, the sun was going down, and I knew we were only just embarking on our walk. So by the time I came back, it was dark.
Yeah.
And I stepped out into the park and there was a woman there with her twins on the slide. And she was like, I think she felt judged because I said, oh, hi, how are you going? And she went, oh, we're doing a very late play night at the park. And I was like, that's okay. That's the same reason I'm finally out with the dog. And she said to me, I don't know where my days are going. I can't keep up. And I went, oh my God, me too. And so we wasted 10 minutes of our time talking about it together.
Well, I mean, to both you and that lovely lady, you're right. The days are getting shorter. But, and like, that happens most years.
Would we? Yeah, right. And yeah. I can't get my life done. Like, would we benefit from winter daylight savings?
No.
Why not?
Well, because the cows don't like it.
Yeah, right. And the curtains fade.
Yeah.
Well, then, but it wouldn't,
doesn't
be,
that help
it wouldn't
us?
Be light until, like, it's just getting light now. We'd be... It'd be 8 o'clock before it was like this.
So?
What
no
is
one
it?
Does anything in the morning. People go to the gym and, like, no one's using the morning. No. Like, the summer is, I'm like, I'm all for daylight savings, but I don't need it then. I need more light at the end of the day in winter. This is when we need it. Why aren't we considering this?
No. This is perfect. Please don't mess with this, because for us, this is a great opportunity for us to get our kids to bed early. Otherwise, they don't go to bed early.
Because the sun's going down at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, because if the sun doesn't go down, the kids don't think it's nighttime. So they don't go get
don't
their baths and go to bed.
A blackout room anyway?
A blackout room?
Yeah.
The hell kind of house do you think we're running?
I thought that's where we kept kids.
Come on, kids. Into the blackout dungeon. Come on, then.
He's one of Australia's funniest blokes who once held a Guinness World Record for the most jokes told in an hour. Get your stopwatches ready, people. It's Limo.
I'll tell you what, I've been glowing since I was in studio with you lot last week and looking into your beautiful eyes. It was a treat.
It was good to see you, man.
It was an absolute pleasure to have you in our fair state. You had a good gig on the Friday night, did you? And then I think you were heading off to do your election party.
Yeah, I had an election party. My wife and I put an election party on at our house on Saturday night. And, you know, look, it's an election party, okay? And when it comes to throwing a party, you stay in your lane.
Yes.
All right? Now, we had about 10 people over, and my wife put music on at one point. And I said, whoa, babe. It's not a music party. It's not a dance party. It's an election party. Music off, please.
If that ain't Anthony Green, get it off.
Just out of
volume
curiosity.
Up on the telly. Yes.
Yeah.
Limo.
Volume up on the TV. That's it. It's an election party.
Did you only invite people of the same voting persuasion to the election party?
Oh, 100%. I don't know that I'm friends with anyone of a different voting persuasion to myself, to be honest with you.
Got no teal friends?
Yeah. Mate, a teal might sneak through the front door of our house. Yeah. A couple of greens. But I had a few friends turn up who wanted to watch the footy. And I was like, guys, seriously? Do I throw an AFL grand final party? And then all of a sudden start playing music and put on Fox News. No, I don't.
No.
So it was annoying. So, but anyway, I say it was annoying. If that sounds like a boring party, you're absolutely right.
Oh, yeah.
It received some harsh reviews from the people who were there. I'm shushing everyone during important speeches. It got a little tedious. But hey, well, what a week, though. Anthony Albanese, the highlight for me from Albo was when he was being sworn in Monday morning. Have a listen to this.
I, Anthony Norman Albanese,
Norman!
Do solemnly and sincerely affirm and declare that I will well and truly serve the Commonwealth of Australia, her land and her people, in the office of Prime Minister.
Oh, good. But his middle name's Norman. Where? For some reason, that entertained me.
Me too.
This will entertain you, Limo. I've got a friend whose first name is Norman, and he's part of a worldwide Facebook group called Norman's Under 40, I think it's called, because they can't believe that there are still people called Norman under the age of 40, and they think that they're special. It's hilarious.
That is so funny. It's a bit, Norman to me is a bit like Wayne. Like, if I met a 5-year-old and his name was Wayne, that would be odd to me.
Yeah, run a few sheep and a bit of wheat.
Yeah, that's what Wayne does. How about, but there's something about middle names. It doesn't matter what they are. They sound funny. Can we go around the room for names?
I don't have one. My parents were too lazy to come up with one. Right.
Are you seriously? You legitimately don't have a middle name?
None of us have one. No.
Oh, wow.
Joseph.
No need. It's just filling out extra forms.
Joseph.
Joseph.
Mine is Charles.
Charles?
Yeah,
Charles.
Because my nonno was Charlie.
Okay.
Yeah. You, mate?
Right. I'm Carl with a C.
Carl with a C.
Anthony Carl, and the classic when mum's angry. It's Anthony Carl.
Has it enriched your lives, having a middle name?
Not particularly.
Just more stuff to fill out, really.
Yeah, right?
It's more letters on the form, isn't it? Yeah.
What is the point? And the other political highlight of the week, of course, is Tanya Plibersek being asked about Peter Dutton and saying this.
Peter Dutton,
how do you see him as the coalition leader?
Well, I think there'll be a lot of children who've watched a lot of Harry Potter films who'll be very frightened of what they're seeing on TV at night, that's for sure.
You're saying he looks strange, he looks odd?
I'm saying he looks a bit like Voldemort, and we'll see whether he can he can do what he promised he'd do when he was last running for leader, which is smile more.
Oh, man. Did you see the... It's not the first time this has happened. Did you see the Gollum ads? Labor's Gollum ads, where they depicted Anthony Albanese as Gollum? There's form there.
I didn't see those. So Tanya Plibersek has said that. She's had to come out and apologise to Voldemort, actually, for making that comparison. Voldemort has been asked for comment. This is what he had to say.
You're a fool, and you will lose everything.
She's a creepy cat, that Voldemort. Anyway, apologies to Voldemort. Hope you're okay. Hey, he could be the leader of the opposition very soon.
Yeah.
Hey, good to catch up with you, mate. Have a great weekend, and we'll catch you next week.
All right, good on you guys.
Pete, Matt and Kimber know there's more reasons to cheer loud this footy season at Crown.
That was unbelievable.
And right now, it's time to get that West Coast Eagles feeling.
Can you believe this?
Please welcome Oscar Allen.
Good morning, Oscar Allen.
Thank you for the applause. I appreciate it. What's going on, guys?
Well, you tell us.
Yeah, what's going
on? Yeah, I've walked in and there's bubbles going on in this room. There's energy, so I'm looking forward to the next 5-10 minutes. See what we got for me.
The energy is completely displaced. We've realised we've all reached Friday. We're kind of delirious. The show is very loose today.
That's how we like it. We can just do what we like then, eh?
Yeah. And look, mainly our thoughts have been with you all week. We've been a little bit... I mean, I'm not say worried about seeing you, but I didn't want to see your sad face.
No, I'm actually going really well. I mean,
great.
Oh, great. So you're playing?
Yeah, I wish.
So they have announced that you're out for the season.
Yep. So the club's put me on the inactive list. So for those who don't know what that means, I can't play for the rest of the year due to injury, and it opens up a list spot. So there's a mid-season draft. I think it's next Wednesday. So it allows us to pick another player in the mid-season draft who can help us this year. So it was a frustrating week, and I had some really good conversations with obviously the head coach Simo and the head of footy. And yeah, it was mostly to get some clarity around what I can do with my body and not force it. I probably wouldn't have been right anyway by the end of the year, but now I've got some definitive answers as to what this year looks like for me.
So could this have been one of those situations if, say, West Coast were vying for a final spot that they might have rushed you through, but because of the situation, it's like, no, let's just call this now, let Oscar heal.
Yeah, I think even if we were going really well and contending, they'd probably keep me training purely. I'm still training, but keep me... with a chance to play purely for the fact of there's another couple of weeks, it's a bye before finals, and then if finals continue on, so there'd definitely be a chance that I could be back later in the year. But I think the club and myself, we had good conversations about taking the approach of what it's going to look like for the long term and how to get my body right. So obviously I've had a disappointing year, but for the next 5-10 years, however long I'm able to play at this great footy club, that I can be out there every week and doing what I love. So it was more of a grown-up decision, but I'm glad there were grown-ups in the room to help me make it.
Yeah. It did feel a little bit like it's a subtle way of saying that now the team don't have to bring you back and they can tank, but that's okay.
No. What are you, Carolyn Wilson?
Hey, did you catch the... Now, I don't know if it was the Saturday West or if it was the Sunday Times, but the back page, which was an Oscar, as in an Academy Award, and it had your face on it.
So this Academy Award gag that the West has been running with, I don't mind it. So last year, when I was playing well, it came back in a positive way, right? Like, oh, it's a good pun, and there was Oscars about how he's playing well, yada, yada, yada. Now it's gone the other way, so I'm not playing, but I did see it. And this one was actually a pretty good Photoshop job, because I'm not sure if anyone saw it. It wasn't just cut the head out and then put my head on it. It was kind of merged into it, like a mirage. It was... I had to take a double take. I was like, is that me on the front? But
I am looking good.
Yeah.
Next year, when you lead the West Coast to the flag, the headline will be the Allen Key.
Ooh, I like that one.
I like what you did there.
There you go.
Is that weird seeing you, or are you just used to it now, that you see your face on the paper?
Last year was probably when it got peak weirdness for me, just because it was probably the first time my name was really up in lights and was kind of exposed to those kinds of things. But now, to be honest, I don't really think about it. It's a weird way. Like, if you told me at 18 or 16 or when I was a kid that this would be happening, I'd be like, that's amazing. It's awesome. Like, how great's my life? But when you get used to it and you're just in the moment, you don't think about this is how your life's going. And yeah, no, it's just, it almost seems like not real in a way.
Yeah,
like,
but
it's
all Fugazi.
Yeah.
Someone's cutting him out of the
paper. Yeah, mum's cutting him out. Mum's keeping all of
them. Mum.
I reckon she's got a portfolio of the good stuff and the bad stuff. So I'm hoping by the time it's all said and done, the good one's a bit bigger than the bad one. But
mum's scrapbook is a great thing to have through your life. Don't you worry about that.
Well, and we just wanted to check in with you two to give you a couple of tips just to see, now that you've got spare time up your sleeve, would you look into maybe something like darts? Because still competitive, but you could practice from a seated position, or perhaps something like knitting, because you could get yourself some good club beanies and blankies.
I want to learn how to knit. That would be interesting.
It's a super useful skill.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about competitive duck herding?
I've never heard of that.
It's a thing.
Can you explain what that entails?
Yes.
He's got to stay off his feet.
What about competitive duck herding, but in a golf buggy?
That sounds... sounds adventurous.
It sounds dangerous. Sorry, ducks.
There's some other things. There's tree shaping. You could be a tree shaper.
This is actually something that my partner wants me to get better at.
You're joking.
No, she said this is a great opportunity for you to really master the garden and get the lawn looking right. And whenever it's something I don't want to do, it's my foot. I've got to put my foot up.
Yeah,
like, it's become a really easy excuse for me around the house. But then I'll be like, the foot. I can't. But then I'll be taking the dog for a walk or something. Like,
seems to be okay now.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. It's fine now.
If you want to talk lawn porn, though, Pete's your guy.
Oh, yeah. Man. Oh, God.
He loves lawn, mate, like nobody
else. This time
else.
Of year, some good, like, get some nitrogen into it, get it nice and green, and I could talk about it for hours. Mwah.
Yes, I understand what that means.
Yeah.
Not at all.
my foot.
Yeah.
The West Coast Eagles, they take on the Doggies tomorrow, 5:30. Mate, you know, sucks that you'll be on the sidelines this year, but obviously great opportunity for us to catch up a lot more.
Yeah,
exactly
you
right.
For continuing to do this too.
Yeah. No, I love it.
Contractually obliged.
Oh, yeah.
apart from the contractually, I do really enjoy this opportunity to come and have a chat with you guys. And this is one of the things where you're not playing, you kind of start focusing, what do I actually enjoy doing? So this is one of those things that I have real enjoyment in. So thank you for having me.
Anytime.
I thought you guys were going to beat me off, to be honest.
Now, I feel so lucky, and I do, you know, offer the universe or the higher power gratitude for this, because I've managed to get through so much of my life without having to be a grown up. And, you know, it might be annoying for other people, but, you know, I've sort of floated through for a lot of my life.
Absolutely. It's been an absolute pleasure taking care of you, Matthew.
Kimber, can you open my email for me?
Raising you has been one of my proudest moments.
And that is so true. And that's almost worth just going out at that point. But, you know, you've got to do grown-up stuff. And obviously I have a beautiful family now, and my wife, T, and Steppy D, my stepdaughter and whatnot. And so, you know, you have to do the things you have to do. And of course, we're in the process of doing the wills and that sort of stuff. Mm. And it's so confronting.
Yeah, very.
It's so confronting. Of course, it's confronting on a mortality thing, like, I'm going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be any time.
Yeah.
You know, it makes you think about that. And they have these sort of like doomsday. What happens in the doomsday scenario when you're all wiped out? And and of course, you know, what if you move on and the survivor moves on and remarries?
It just plants all these trust issues in
it
you
does.
Too, doesn't it? Because back in the day, you probably used to be able to just turn to your partner or your sibling or whatever and be like, hey, if this all goes pear-shaped, you can have all my stuff.
Yes.
Now it's like the legal terms and the complications.
All of that. All of that.
The stats that I've been checking out is in Australia, when it comes to doing a will, more than 50% of wills in Australia are contested.
There you go.
So after the person died, someone has come forward and gone, nope, I do not agree with who they've left to what.
And it tears families apart.
Yeah, they're saying in terms of contesting a will, between 75 and 85% of people who contest are successful.
Right.
And most often the contesting is siblings fighting over a parent's will.
Right. Yeah.
Some stats for you.
You do hear a few like people who have never had an issue with each other all of a sudden have an issue with each
other. Didn't even know each other.
Yeah.
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 Well, look, I mean, you know, I would love to hear your stories, maybe just as a sort of a cautionary tale, really, as to why it's important to have, you know, dot your I's and cross your T's, because, you know, it's not, it's bad enough losing someone you love, but to then see the greater family fall apart because things, the wishes weren't clear in the wills.
And you know what, you've got to imagine that most people think that would never happen.
Of course.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm thinking to myself, oh, my family would never be the kind of people that would do that sort of thing.
Yeah.
They wouldn't contest. And then, like, I guess everyone thinks that.
Yes.
So
and that's when lawyers come in.
So how did your will divide your family this morning?
I mean, I know it's probably a tough subject matter to talk about, but, you know, it's probably something we need to think about.
Well, sometimes you're just on the periphery. You could have had a family member that contested it, and it meant that you never get to see your auntie anymore.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Like, it can affect everybody.
Amber in Morley, good morning to you, and thank you for calling in, because this is quite the subject. How did the will divide your family?
Morning, guys. Well, it hasn't happened yet, but I talk to my parents all the time about making sure that they transfer their assets to whoever they want them to go to prior to their will, because anything that they leave to my brother, I will be contesting.
Wow. So is that because you'd already had a bit of a family rift, and so you're like, you expect that they might leave something to him?
Yeah, definitely. My parents are very non-confrontational. They'll probably write 50-50 to each other, let us sort it out, but we don't have a good relationship. I don't want it to get to that point. So I'm always like, transfer it first, leave nothing, and make it easy.
Right. On you or on them, though, Amber? Make it easy.
Oh, on them.
Yeah.
Because, God forbid one of them's left and they have to oversee something, or the rest of the family.
Yeah.
Just take responsibility and sort it out first.
And you know, people put strategy into that, Amber. I know that there are some families that do that, where they go, look, we'll leave some to everybody, because then that way they're less likely to contest.
Sure.
Because if you leave them nothing, then they might come forward. But if you leave them a bit, they might leave you alone, and you just get to go on with your wishes. So people certainly use that as a strategy, I think, when putting it together.
Amy and Subiaco, another one, thank you very much for your call this morning. The wills dividing families, what happened in yours?
So my late grandmother died in 2013. It took my mum and her sister almost 7 years to finally settle. My aunt wanted to buy out the house. So it was a simple, like, one savings account, one house, estate. My aunt wanted to buy my mum out. Mum definitely wanted to sell. Fine, you want to buy me out? This is in Melbourne. Real estate happens to actually grow in Melbourne.
Oh.
And they settled on the 2013 amount valuation.
Oh.
Right.
Grown by like $400,000 in those 7 years. But it just...
And then, of course, the value.
Yeah. So my mum has been absolutely ripped off, but just conceded almost everything because she just didn't want to destroy her relationship with her sister.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
And look, I mean, one does have to let go at some point too, and just go, that's what, you know, that's what's happened, and let's move on.
100%. It's literally like a case of of what do you value more?
Yes, absolutely.
You know, I suppose that's the question you have to ask yourself. I joke occasionally about mum and dad, like how they have a boat.
Yes.
And I've mentioned plenty of times that on this show that like I'm not the fisherman in the family, but how
but you want the boat?
But I want the boat. Well, Dad texted me the last time I mentioned it. He said, well, you're not getting the boat. I'm leaving it to Ollie, who's my son. So I've got that in writing now. So that's good. that's how you do it. Pete, Matt and Kimber. Guys.
Yeah.
Let's talk periods.
He's talking about menstruation.
Yeah, which is unusual, especially that you're bringing it up. But.
Yeah, no. Well, two girls in the house, well, three girls, one woman, two daughters. And I know at some point this is going to be a topic of conversation in our household, and legitimately. And I have come across something that I just feel is going to make the process of talking about it in our household that much easier.
Okay.
And it's called period crunch.
What?
What's a period crunch?
It's cereal.
It is not.
Oh, yes, it is.
Period crunch cereal.
Yeah, no, it gets better. So
one would hope so.
It's cereal made by a company called Intamina. Intamina.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Obviously, like intimate, right?
Uh huh. Okay. Yeah.
And it is cereal in the shape of a uterus. It's colored with freeze-dried raspberry powder. Okay. So when you put it in the milk turns red. Just like Cocoa Pops.
Who's the target market here? Who's buying period crunch cereal?
I'll be honest with you, Kimber. I want you to answer that question. Yeah. I'm staying as far away from this as humanly possible.
I mean, this is bizarre. Is it because they're just trying to tell educate Make people it, about periods?
And demystify it's not a big deal. Yeah, that kind
so
of thing.
You've seen through it, guys. You've seen through it. Go, you guys, you good things. You've seen through the great ruse. It's all about starting conversations about periods at home because according to Intamina, they are few and far between.
That's true.
The cereal is not available to buy in supermarkets, but you can register your interest in trying it by emailing periodcrunch, all one word, at thisiscow.com.
What? I mean, I'm down for the chat. Here's the thing. You know, I've said to you guys before, I find it... it's sad to me, I think, that we have grown women who will go up to other grown women in the office and go, hey, have you got a tampon?
Sure. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Like, we shouldn't have to do that. It's just ridiculous. It's natural and this is standard and it's what happens. But I don't want to be thinking about it while I'm eating cereal. It's kind of like I don't want little turd cereal either. And that's natural too. But you don't
They're
want
both
it.
More of an afternoon thing.